Thank you. Thank you. conference is now being recorded. You may begin.
Great. Who's got the
lead? What are we calling ourselves? Communications Task Team 1, I guess it is?
Yeah, Team 1, I think I read somewhere.
Task 1 Subteam. There we are. Well, I believe that what we were going to do after our last brief meeting was to go through those business requirements and discuss them, see if there are any additions or subtractions. I have looked again through the Penelope document, and I have to say, I think it's a pretty doggone good document. Even its purpose and scope, I think is pretty much right on for what our project is. Now, I don't know, did you, Chris, or Ken have additional things you wanted to make sure made their way into these business requirements?
This is Ken. I'll hop in. While I agree with you and actually take some credit for the fact that this set of documents or this set of requirements is pretty exhaustive and, pretty well written, I do think that it needs at least one or two major things to be done to it. As I've mentioned before, and I'll just say them again. One is it needs to be, if you will, bifurcated or split into the sort of immediately doable and the not so immediately doable.
Yep.
That would be one. We could almost break it up into chapter one or chapter two sort of thing. You know, we're going to do this set of requirements first and then that set later. That would be one task I think we have to perform. The second one is a cleanliness or sanitation. Sanitization? Is that a word?
Sure.
meaning
you
that...
Sanitize it,
because I think some of these requirements are just written in language that implies a technology.
Yep.
And to be honest, as I've said before, I'm not perfectly expert enough to get all that out on my own, and if I had been, I would have already done it, and we would have very little to do then.
And who is competent to do that?
Well, I think we that's a great question. Let me stop there and see if Chris wants to add anything.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I wasn't too happy with the way it had been broken down into those three areas, the application, the shared, and the platform.
Can you say why?
Because I didn't really fully sort of understand what they were, and it almost seemed unnatural to me. I don't know, as I was reading it, and I was trying to think, why is this a shared, why is this a platform, why is this application?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if it might be best for us to look at all the elements initially independently and then re-sort them however we sort of feel at the end rather than working on those three.
Yeah, and in fact, I think that will get us, that may lead us to some sanitization activities just naturally. In other words, that particular framework that you're talking about, a platform, portal, and all that kind of stuff, it may very well be a sort of SharePoint portal server architecture. and just by taking that down and disassembling it and looking at the nuggets and then repackaging them into something else may in itself just clean it.
Yes.
it may remove something that A is confusing to us and B signals something unintended to others.
Yeah, I think generally throughout the document we'll probably be taking material out, isn't it? Because it's very comprehensive.
We could probably also condense it some. That's also possible, yep.
One thing that did occur to me, just going through it again this afternoon, I think we just need to think about the level of the reader, whether it is a layman or whether it's somebody that knows what, there's a couple of phrases, I can't see them to mind, but I wasn't sure what they were myself.
I think that's an excellent point, and I think even as regards the application or shared or platform services, would those three titles make sense to a tech person who would be actually implementing the business requirements?
They would make sense to a technical person, and I think they make general sense when put in the form of an executive summary. So I think what we can do initially is not worry ourselves about the audience too much, because as I mentioned earlier, you start with the detailed stuff that you want to be precise. And you want it to be actionable by a technical person, and then we could then summarize something, you know, an executive summary above it that says, for those of you who don't want to get down into the nits and lice of this, here's what we're saying, and here's generally what it talks about. And that was what we did with the executive summary in Section 2.
Yes.
And we sort of said what a shared service requirement is, right? The first thing it says in 2.2, shared services requirements relate primarily to providing all applications a consistent look and feel, including navigation through and across site components. I think any reasonable human being with competency in English can get a pretty good idea of what that means under shared services, right? So we took the trouble initially to just generally say what those categories meant.
Another thing that occurred to me is about user roles or defining user roles. And by that I mean maybe the non-registered user that comes to the website, or the registered user, or a journalist who's adding content into it, or the webmaster from ICANN, or a translator. Because the document tends to use the word user all the way through it. Database query, for example. Users should be able to create custom and ad hoc queries. Ooh, who's going to create custom and ad hoc queries at what level? So we might need to think of separating or just defining different users and then use them in the phrases.
Hmm. An interesting observation. I hadn't thought about that.
Because if you're thinking of user being an administrator, where I'm thinking of user being more the web visitor.
Yes. I think the general usage in this document was user is can be interpreted as customer of website, visitor of website, you know. User in the sense of interested visitor to website,
yeah.
Engaged, but not necessarily administrator. And the term administrator gets used in other sections down under platform when you talk about setting up rights and privileges, permission structures, giving users selected kinds of rights,
yeah.
Like being able to create a site template or modify a site template, things of that type. So it's kind of implied, but I think you're right. We don't actually define at any point what we mean by user versus administrator versus any other classification of somebody who could interact with the website. So that might be something we could add to a glossary or definition, or just be careful as we go through it that we use the term consistently. Just in terms of what we might do here, because I did the same thing. I went and started plowing through, and I said, okay, you know, this I would move to Chapter 2, and this one I would leave, and this one I would rewrite, and I started just mentally. I didn't actually tag anything just yet, although I did copy the document into another place where I can start fiddling with it and without destroying the original. I thought, you know, as I was going through this, I said, you know, let me first take a look at a current ICANN Drupal site. And so I went to atlarge.icann.org. Do you guys have access to a web?
Yeah, I'll go there right now.
Yeah. And I'm just going to lead you down my thinking path and see.
Yeah.
So this at-large site, I believe, is the most advanced. And the reason is because the guy that's really shepherded it from its inception is Nick Ashtonhart. And he had it as a personal mission, you know, to build this thing. And he took a very serious and active role in it, working with Mark and others.
That's impressive.
So let's just take a look at it a little bit and notice a few things. The row at the top, not the very top where it says click links and or quick links, the one below it where it says ICANN home. You know, I started clicking into some of these things just to see where they go. Those actually go to the ICANN site. So, and this is something I didn't even realize, but it's interesting. Because you wouldn't learn this from the GNSO site, I don't think.
No.
You can subscribe to newsletters and various other documents, the policy newsletter. You can subscribe to that as a news feed from the ICANN site. And so this little set of links at the very top actually aren't in the at-large site at all. They take you away from that. And there's actually a blog now on the ICANN site that I didn't know existed. So I learned a few things about ICANN site just from visiting the at-large site. I'm not sure how important that is, but it was. I noted it. Then when you get down to the next underneath the ICANN logo, you notice they have a sort of taxonomy, and it starts with home and then announcements and so forth. And right away I started to get confused, right? Because I see something called correspondence, and then two tabs over I see documents, and I go, is there a difference between correspondence and document? And if so, is there a subtlety I'm missing there? If I were looking for something that was correspondence, would it not be a document, or would it be, you know, it's just that to me, those are the kinds of difficulties that websites just often have, right?
Yeah.
How do you make it clear to somebody? And is this even a good taxonomy? I mean, should things be organized according to, for example, policy? Calendar maybe. There's a different way to break down the meaning of that top level as opposed to what kind of thing is it, what does it talk about. It's more subject versus form.
Yeah.
Is that meaningful?
Yeah, and that's actually a very important part of the information architecture, defining that top level, those that menu across the top there, because you've only got so many spaces to use.
That's right. You only have so many. And then I noticed that on the left, and incidentally, I'm surprised neither of you two guys jumped on me by saying, well, you know, that's not really a requirements matter. That's an implementation matter. And it really is an implementation matter. It's just something.
I've been very sensitive to that because it is the most interesting thing to me and the thing that I think will make the most difference and the most impact. But I think the way you bridge that gap, and I spent some of the day today looking at all of the major portals, you know, to see what's the difference between Yahoo and AOL and Go and Excite and Lycos and all of those others. You know, the ICANN website, not the GNSO one, but the ICANN one, actually has a lot of the attributes that those major portals have. And one of the things that immediately jumps to mind that that the GNSO site doesn't have is a search bar.
Right.
But, you know, in many of these really good portals, they not only have a search bar at the top, they have a search bar at the bottom because they've gone under the fold. A kind of surprisingly, some of the big portals try to cram everything onto one page, and some of them, like the new AOL site, goes for 3 or 4 pages. I mean, that really has a lot of stuff along the left-hand side. But I think what this at-large site does better than the GNSO site, anyhow, is it seems to have some separators, some different areas that have highlights and shaded boxes, or even a calendar, you know, something that visually organizes things a little bit better than in the GNSO. It's almost like the difference between a PowerPoint and a regular bulleted Word document.
Yes, I think it's presentation.
It is. That's just presentation. So if we're going to put into what are the requirements as opposed to what is the pretty stuff, you know, the presentation, I think it could be something like having a search bar or a search box that is on the first page and at the bottom as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oftentimes you have the things across the top repeated down at the bottom if you've got a lengthy web page. And I think another one that you often see that could be helpful is making things customizable. And I don't know if that would be good, bad, or overly complicated. But
oh, I see. You mean sort of like you can have your own user experience at the site.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the reason I think that might be helpful, I use Yahoo at home as a home page, and I follow a couple sports teams, and I'm interested in what's showing at the local movie theater, and there are a few things that you can customize so that information always pops up to you. And you can also have email alerts and different RSS feeds, that sort of thing. But I imagine, and like I say, maybe it's getting too complicated, but even when I go to the ICANN website, I am interested in some things and not others, and I'd rather be able to collapse some so I don't have to worry about them or see them. Other people who visit might feel the same way if they're repeat visitors, but if you're a first-time user, nothing's customized. Everything is totally and completely generic. If you're a repeat user, you might want to track what's happening in the new GTLDs or something else more closely, or with the GNSO. Maybe you care about some things more than others. What do you guys think?
I think there's two levels that can be done. One level, certainly, is if in the sort of concept of roles, so that for a brand new user who hasn't logged into the website at all, then they see certain information.
Yes.
That other people who log in won't see. So that group will see it differently. Whether it gets down to individuals, I'm not sure, but there may well be half a dozen different groups. I mean, one of the things, isn't it, is this information overload, and it's daunting to everybody. That's what one thing everybody does complain about the ICANN website. And maybe in some way using different role classifications, or maybe you elect yourself as a frequent user, you can see it slightly differently. We could put that into requirements.
What do you think about that, Ken? Let me ask you this. Do you, Chris, for your site, Andalusia.com, do you allow that to be customized?
No, we don't, because it's in pure old-fashioned HTML, the live version. We're working on a Drupal version.
That's a nice lead into where I wanted to go after looking at this particular page. We don't really have to click through it all. I did notice the calendar, and it actually, I was in Marina Doray with Glenn and Nick Ashtonhart and some others, and he actually talked about this Drupal calendaring feature, and apparently you can drill down into it and you can assemble multiple calendars. In other words, you could have an ICANN calendar that contains the at-large information, and you can drill down and up, and there's a lot of capability there, sophisticated in calendaring, that we can just, I'll just mention, we don't have to talk much about it right this moment. Well, that led me, as I was walking through here, and then I thought to myself, I want to do something that is normally not kosher when doing requirements work, but I want to do it anyway. So then I decided to go to Drupal.org. And if you'll click on Drupal.org, if you have a minute.
Yeah. You already had it open, actually.
Okay.
Are you on the? Did you come up to features, general features, right off the top?
I show.
If not on the left, do you see? You might be able to navigate down to where it says features. Yeah, that. If you could just click on features on the left there. Hopefully, at the top it says. You know, you got a little face, and then it says Drupal.
I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So here, this is a little interesting to me. And it gets a little bit at something Steve noted at the very, very outset of our first set of calls on this topic, which is you go see something that you like, and then you write the requirements to fit it. So we already know ICANN has picked Drupal, and we're not going to be able to write a set of requirements that Drupal doesn't satisfy. And the things that Drupal does would naturally be in the doability list.
Yeah.
True. So I'm just being practical for a moment.
Yeah.
So I go down this list and I see, wow, well, first of all, I didn't even know this. There's a collaborative book that's a general feature. And I read it. A unique collaborative book lets you set up a book and then authorize other individuals to contribute content. Now, I didn't click on the detailed information, but it would be very useful for us, I think, to see what does Drupal really offer in, because they use a word that we like, collaborative.
Right.
All right, so then I went down and said, okay, friendly URLs, no big deal, online help, open source. What is this personalization? That's what we were just talking about, right?
Yeah.
Both the content and the presentation can be individualized based on user-defined preferences. So, I mean, we don't know the extent to which that's capable in Drupal, but it looks like we could get some of that done if we phrase it right. Under user management, let's go. Then they have a title called content management. And apparently you can do polls, and you can create templates, which is something that we'll find in the Penelope document, right? We talk a lot about site templates, and again, I don't know which templates Drupal offers, but we could specify that we want templating and pick from the Drupal list.
Right.
Threaded comments. This is sort of like social text wiki. Now, I was told by others Drupal didn't support, you know, the kind of thing we're getting done with social text wiki. But this little section makes it sound like it maybe it does. The combination of that collaborative thing and this version and the threaded comments, and then notice right below that where it says version control. So, and then there's a screenshot there which I clicked on, and it's hard to tell exactly what's going on there, but you get the impression that Drupal comes with capabilities that do some limited amount of collaboration and threaded commentary, as well as keeping track of versions. Well, that's what we're getting done in Social Text Wiki, right?
Yeah.
And if we're not getting essentially any more out of Social Text Wiki than we could get out of Drupal's native features, guess what? Now we could have a website that's Drupal-based, built by Mark Salvaterra with our input and da-da-da, that has it all integrated.
Fantastic.
Anyway, so and then notice another thing, and this appeared in our requirements document, which was blogging, right? Support for blog. We just talked about wiki, now they use the term blogger. And so there's blogging capability in Drupal. There's multi-platform support. All right, this was something that we had in our platform services section of the requirements, and we see now that Drupal is good with a whole lot of different platforms. Multi-language is listed.
And there's an interesting feature on the multi-language that it's not just the home page that links to different languages. Every single page links to the corresponding page in the other language. But if that other page doesn't exist, then the little flag doesn't appear.
Okay.
Which is, you know, because we're going to have obviously a lot more pages in English and less in other languages. So we're not wasting people's time by clicking on flags and them going nowhere.
That's good.
Yeah. The even in the administration and analysis section, although it's just crisp statements there, there were many things written into the Penelope documents to deal with having tracking and statistics and that kind of capability about the site, right, which we don't really get too much with today's GNSO site or even the ICANN site, I don't think. But, it's nice to know how many people – I put stuff up on the GNSO mini site all the time, and I wonder if anybody ever clicked on any of it. And I think you can get that kind of stuff and information perhaps more easily out of Drupal. Then there's discussion forums, right? It says here, community features. And none of this stuff, by the way, on this page appears to be, like, extra. This is, like, out of the box. And another capability is, it's at the very top under general features, open source. So there's a whole bunch of things that Drupal allows you to, you can go out and get something else that's a plug-in that might create a capability in Drupal that it doesn't have natively. Somebody writes, that's what the whole, one of the beauties of open source, right? Okay, so where am I going with all this? Not 100% sure I know, but I thought it was interesting that there was a pretty nice tie-in between many of the requirements in the Penelope document and what Drupal puts on its front page as features.
Yeah.
And maybe that helps us to tie the usability set from the things that it doesn't do. And again, we have to drill down a little bit more into this stuff to see what it really does, like in the document versioning. There might be some elements of things that we would have put in Chapter 2 that actually could come up to Chapter 1 based on what I'm reading here.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you think that if we were taking the Penelope doc and separating it into Chapters 1 and 2, one being immediately doable, that part of the way you get there is you look at the Drupal features site and just glean from the Penelope doc, well, this is one that's already in the off-the-shelf free Drupal packet.
It seems like horrible cheating, but yes.
Well, it seems like wonderfully practical.
There's a whole load of features in Drupal which you just sort of literally turn on. There's a long list. I'm sure Mark would show us all.
Well, that was another thing. So there was a question earlier I said we'd come back to. I think Steve asked it. Well, how would we know how to excise out the SharePoint linguistics and all that stuff? Well, two things come to mind. First, we have new language here. And it's written in a way that we know will be accepted. Number two is I think Mark could help us with that. I don't even think we have to go outside and get somebody with, you know, native SharePoint background and tell us what all the keywords were that we used that we shouldn't have and that kind of stuff. I don't think it's that complicated.
Well, and would we literally, instead of, I think I'm now understanding what you have talked about with it having a SharePoint bias, that if we were to write something with the Drupal bias, we might, instead of saying application services and shared services and platform, we might call them general features in user management and content management, logging platform, you know, take the headings off of the Drupal site.
Yes, and that now, well, absolutely, exact, 100%, amen. However, isn't it interesting, though, that we are just guilty of doing the same thing to a more receptive audience? I mean, where SharePoint wasn't an accepted technology, using SharePoint language to describe something was verboten. But if we're going to go into a Drupal environment, it's that technique is okay.
Well, I think here's essentially what we're doing, because I always love these analogies that I can understand a little better. Is when you go to the new car parking lot and you see the list of features on the window, and it says air conditioning, DVD player, heated leather seats, etc. That is a way that you can write down what all your requirements are. You look at the features and you say it's got heated seats and I want that, and I want wiper blades on the headlights.
Let me use an example to illustrate. I see where you're going and I'm following. But let me draw a specific analogy using that your example. Let's say that there's one car manufacturer that includes LoJack, and they're the only one.
Yeah.
And it's only on one model. It's on the Cadillac sedan or something. You know, I don't know the names of them, right? It's on the Le Mans or something. And so in my requirements, I go, oh, and I have to have LoJack as a requirement. Now, a person who sells Toyotas says, whoa, time out. That requirement is platform dependent. You're now telling me you want a Cadillac Le Mans.
Yeah, understood.
Because you put LoJack in it. And LoJack is a keyword that only they use, you know, that kind of thing. I think I like that analogy because it helps to put in perspective what we're talking about here.
That helps me very much. And I guess, well, let's be practical, because then we can decide whether it's cheating or whether it's the shortest distance between two points. ICANN is committed to Drupal. Is that a fair statement?
That is a fair statement.
Okay, so it wouldn't help us. Well, I guess we would, first things first, want to maximize all of the features that Drupal currently offers, and then if there are any additional things, we would... Those could be incremental custom designs.
Yeah, and they might be available via an open source plugin.
Okay.
Right. So, yeah, and you know what? Cheating, yeah, it probably is, but it's. I think you're right. It is the shortest distance between two points. And I'm liking it. And furthermore, I would want to. I'm leading myself even further down this path of wanting to get into the development, the implementation sooner and faster with you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because look, we can pretty much cut and paste the features and feature set by just diving a little bit deeper into this, and you notice that each one of these has a detailed information link, so we absolutely can dive one more notch into these things. Then we get with Mark, and maybe we putting this chapter one set of requirements together, we shouldn't spend a tremendous amount of time like I did before with the big multicolored charted document, you know, with all of that. Maybe that's just more structure than we really need to get started. We just give them a set of requirements, and we could group them loosely, even as they do here, general and user and content or whatever, and get this, and we could pull things out of the Patelby document if we want to, or we could use the Drupal stuff. But what I'd like to see us do next is actually do some agile development work with Mark in taking these ideas and these features and seeing how they would how we would place them on the site. And this is where we'll really use Chris's expertise, and Mark and Chris can kind of lead us, and we can contribute and give some ideas, Steve, to them, and maybe we could actually get a prototype up.
Yeah, well, actually, Mark's prototype, I think it looks really good. You know,
it looks good, but I think a fair question ought to be, and we noticed it even on the at-large site, you know, is that top-level taxonomy useful and workable, or might we make a different suggestion there?
Well,
and
although
this,
you call
where,
it...
This is where, I mean, this would be a fun work to do, right?
Yeah, because you call that implementation, and I'm sure you're right, but that will be fundamental to Mark being able to move forward, because, you know, he would want our thumbs up, or our, you know, to say, yes, we think you're on the right lines, keep going. Because if he makes the wrong decisions on those, then he's got a lot of work to redo.
That's true. That's right. Yeah,
so
perhaps
we should not lead that to implementation.
Well, you know, I wonder if that gets put into a different category that they call technical requirements. You know, you start with these high...
Well, I would call it usability requirements.
Yeah, maybe it is usability requirements or something like that. But I, like I said, I don't know that we have to really at this point become... If Ritza wants a really robust set of business requirements for ICANN's purposes, right? She can take what we give her initially, and she can regroup them, she can reword them, and whatever she wants to do to them, right? And that won't bother us, because we're only doing them as a means to get a new website feature, a new website built. From the point of view of the CCT, we're not in the requirements business, right? Our goal is to get a new website built for GNSO that really improves communication.
Yes.
So for us, we're just doing requirements because it helps to create a feature set that we can get executed. And that's what led me to go to Drupal site, because it seems like the shortest distance between two points.
Well, it is, and I think if realistically that's where we're going to end up, then we waste a whole lot of time just brainstorming features, as opposed to when you go to Drupal, well, number one, we have to use them anyhow, but number two, you'd imagine that if people had truly implementable and valuable features, that they would have suggested them and they would have been incorporated into Drupal by this point.
Oh, yeah. It's a big community, for sure.
Right?
Yep.
I'm sure there are... Who are the other big competing providers in this free Drupal package?
There's a program called Joomla.
Ah, Joomla. Yeah, I've heard of that.
Which I think it had a similar sort of origin. I think the two were very close some years ago, and they split and gone their own way.
There's another one I've heard called Alfresco, which I think might have been a split off of Drupal or some, I don't know, but Alfresco.
Okay.
But, you know.
Using the auto analogy again, if we know we have to buy something that is a Toyota and we can't buy any of these others, then there's no point in looking at all their features because we can't have them.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess that is where, as you suggest, Ken, if we were to parrot all of these Drupal features and write them down and organize them with Roman numerals and sub-columns and, you know, general features is Roman numeral 1 and collaborative book is section A and the detailed information. You could imagine just copying all that stuff on there. Is that a waste of time?
Yeah, I think it is a bit of a waste of time. And so, you know, I think Glenn, are you still on the call? She might have just set it up and took off. Okay. Somebody told me we had a hard stop at 4, that this line was being used for something else, but
okay.
I didn't. We can see if anybody else jumps on. But
no.
Rob Hogarth said something to me yesterday that, oh, you know, the line that she picked, there's some other call going on it, and But then I heard Glenn say, no, that's not true, or so I'm not 100%. So just, I wanted you guys to be aware. Let's take the next 10 minutes and let's give ourselves something concrete to do so that if we do get stopped at 4, you know, we can...
Good idea.
So let's see. I think what I would like to do is to call Mark Salvaterra and have a chat with him about this today's discussion.
Yeah.
And tell him where we're going. And maybe Rita, too. And
Who's Rita?
Okay. remember when we had the big ICANN meeting, the call, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Rita, her last name is P-A-N-A-G-I-S, Panagis, I think. And she is the business requirements ICANN person. She is trying to put a full set of requirements for website technology together for all of ICANN. And so she's managing requirements for ICANN. We have to give all of our requirements to her, and then she has to bless them and then give them to Mark. It's essentially going to have to go that route. So I wanted to, you know, sort of clear this approach with Rita and Mark that we would... And if they want it, maybe she'll say, well, if that's all you're going to do is copy stuff off the Drupal page, you know, we can do that. I don't know. I before we spend a lot of time going down any path, I'd like to checkpoint it just to see if maybe there's a particular structured way we should do it.
And we ought to do that within the communications sub-team, or not sub-team, but the communications team with Mason next Wednesday as well, to say, you know, we're looking at all this and this seems to be the way to go. So
right, yeah. So I mean, what I was willing to do for our little sub team was to, let me see if I can chart out a work path, an actionable work path.
Yeah.
That either is some combination of the Penelope thing and this stuff and the marriage of it, or maybe we just stay with the Drupal stuff, or I don't know. But that's where I think I can get some help from the ICANN folks. And Joyce Thomas, who is the program project manager, who is actually supposed to be writing the charter for us,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, going to come out like a chapter one, chapter two sort of a thing, that the team is going to develop requirements for the doability set. And what we're simply talking about now today is how might we generate that first set? I mean, we have the Penelope thing, and we have this thing, and maybe some hybrid there is the right answer. And then all I would like to do, too, is to see us spend less time making that gorgeous and far-reaching and everything else, so that we could spend more time actually doing, now that we have a pretty good idea of what the set is.
Yeah.
And then that the way that agile development process works is, Mark builds something, and then the three of us pound away at it, and we have our discussion over, just like we're doing today, and we comment back, and then that informs some changes in the requirements.
Yeah.
So we don't try to get the requirements perfect; we just try to get them good enough to get started. And then, as we go forward, we say, oh, you know, the navigation requirement isn't written properly. It needs to also say such and such. Or, you know, we need to make this change or that change, and then that gets folded into the requirements, then it goes back to Mark, and then we do some other things, and we just keep that cycle going until time runs out or we get it to the point where we love it.
Yeah.
Yes, we've only got just over a month, haven't we, to get our report back to the rest of the team.
Yeah, if this approach is workable, and since, again, you know, I'm sort of your staff guy, I can do some of the heavy lifting here and then feed it to you guys for approval and commentary and editing and things of that type.
Yeah.
I think it makes a tremendous amount of sense. I ask who the competitors are to Drupal, because, you know, if you set something in place, it's always difficult to move away from it and move to anything else. And once you choose this, you're in. It's not really easy to swap out and move to something else. But sounds like ICANN's already made that decision, so it would be crazy to go with something that was not compatible with the fundamental platform that ICANN uses.
Agreed.
And I'm comfortable with it because here, myself and our team made that decision as well, but completely independently from ICANN. And when I joined the work team, I didn't even know about Drupal until I think Mark mentioned it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. In that event, then let's be efficient and fleet-footed, and I think we will want to sell Mason and the others that the best way to get a fantastic website is to use all of the features and functionality that's available through Drupal.
Yeah,
at least in our Chapter 1 work.
Right. Yeah. If we can get Mark on a call or independently and take us in a demo, but take us into the administration area. There's a place where you can see all the features. There's just a whole lot of checkboxes.
Okay.
There's a great big long list of about 30 of them, which you might find instructive.
Okay. I'll see if I can set something like that up. So
yeah. Right. We've got a demo site at it's actually demo.andalusia.com.
Okay.
And we demoed that to a client the other day. So that might help as well too.
Demo.andalusia.com.
And it's
I'm there.
You're there. And on the left hand side.
Oh, so you're selling web solutions.
Yeah, that's our other company.
Okay.
The web development company. And there's a client of ours who is interested in is actually a hotel chain in a website. So actually, it's on the banner there, Fuerte Hoteles. And we put this demo for them to show them what Drupal can do.
Mm.
And we presented this last Friday, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But just out of interest to point out, on the left-hand side, they're called those gaudy colored blocks of boxes are called blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the elements that you can either take a standard block like a search or a menu. The first one at the top is a menu block, and then you've got a search blocks, and then you've got a user login block, and then the languages block. Those are the what might be called modules in another parlance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Of all these features that you can just sort of add them in.
Okay.
Or if they're not available, then you might find, because they're open source, somebody working on one, or at worst, you'd have to write one yourself.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then donate it back to the Drupal community.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's instructive. So you guys are actually using that platform yourself.
Yes.
Or one of your companies is, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, it doesn't look like anybody's going to interrupt our call, so not that I'm trying to drag it out, but I just, we don't have to rush.
Good, good.
I couldn't find that. Did you say it was www.demo?
No, try demo.andalucia.com.
Okay.
And, you know, A-N-D-A-L-U-C-I-A has worked for me.
It.
Yeah, it took me right there. And then, yeah.
Okay, I gotcha.
So this is Andalucia saying to prospective hotel clients, this is what we could do for you using a platform like Drupal.
Yes.
You know, and we can take you through and show you how you, you know, what the capabilities are, which are checkboxed, and they, you know, there's various search and language and other things that we can put in there, and
that's right. Yes.
And different menu options and that sort of thing. So what I think what Chris was suggesting that we do is that we become the hotel in this example.
Yeah.
The three of us, and we let Mark be Andalucia. And so we would say to him, "Hey Mark, show us what you can do for us." And he would show us under the covers a little bit what some of those capabilities are that could be turned on and off and where we might place them and so forth. Because he has not done that much. If you look at the web beta site that we talked about early, most of those things don't click and go anywhere.
That's right.
So my proposal would be that primarily me, I can try to do some of the drafting work here and give you guys, because I know you guys are volunteers here, I'm a full-timer, that I can try to do a synthesis of the Penelope document with the stuff that's already native in Drupal and put together a set of requirements. I won't spend a lot of time trying to organize them necessarily, but just get the grist together. But before I do that, I want to get clear with Mark and Risa and Joyce that that's a workable strategy, that that will play properly to that audience. And then what I'd like to suggest is that, you know, as soon as we get that to them, after it goes through our larger team, that we, the three of us, stay together and continue working in an iterative way with Mark and Risa on fleshing those requirements out further by actually building the new site. And instead of sort of taking months and months to do requirements and months to do implementation, we just homogenize that. So that would so I have the initial action item then, and you guys don't really have to do anything more with the Penelope document. But I would have one suggestion for you that would be very helpful, I think, for all of us. And that would be, if you have time, to go into this Drupal feature set and go down a little deeper and try to understand and get comfortable with, like, what this collaborative book really is. I'm going to do it too, but I think the more we know about how this Drupal thing can work and what it can do, because one of the things that we're going to have to do in the feature, so in building our requirement set, so let's say Drupal has 50 things it can do that have a specific separate classification, like label. There's 50 of them. I'm making this up. And we look at all 50, and we go, there's really 35 that we would want to have in our website. And 15 we just don't care about, or we can't see a use for them. You know what I'm saying? That's how you narrow down the feature set. And part of that analysis might be when we look at, for example, whatever Drupal's companion is to Wiki, I think the three of us need to say what Drupal offers is better, closer, close enough, not as good, so that we can say we want to move to that solution set. Because then you build a requirement. This is a little like the LoJack example. I saw that LoJack. I love it. I want that in my system. Or you say, you know what? I don't worry about my car being stolen. I live in a nice neighborhood, and I don't need or want LoJack. So you leave it off. And I think that's part of what we have to do in building this set. Because, I mean, I don't think we want to go through the whole Drupal and just put everything in there, because it won't be clear that it's needed or that wanted or useful.
Well, and I think we also, when we look at the existing ICANN website, I want to think again, is the GNSO website, are we trying to get it up to being on par with the ICANN site, or are we trying to have it be light years ahead, or are we trying to just not have it be as bad as it is now?
I'd like to see it ahead, and then I can then...
Catch up. Right. So I guess that's important for us to decide in advance, because otherwise we would be constrained in choosing all 50 features or even 10 if we look at the current ICANN website and say, well, they're only using 10 of these. So I guess we can dream a little bit big here.
Oh, sure. I would say we shouldn't be too constrained about what ICANN's doing on its website. In fact, ultimately, ICANN's site will probably move toward Drupal also. It's a bigger implementation problem, that's all.
Is the ICANN site not Drupal?
I don't believe it is, no.
No, it's not. It wasn't on that list, was it?
Mm-hmm.
As you say, the Alacuan and most of the Mexico and the Paris and Cairo, those were.
Right.
So why is it that you think we are going to move necessarily towards Drupal?
Because I think that's the platform of choice for ICANN. It's the architecture of choice, and all the sites will ultimately want to put... And there will be capabilities and that when they're all in Drupal and all database they're underpinned by database technology,
okay.
And they all, let's say for example that we put in the equivalent of the wiki capability and blogging in the Drupal site, right?
Yes.
Well, ICANN's got a blog thing going on now on its site, but it's not in the Drupal framework. Well, it's possible, I just don't know this, that when everybody's doing Drupal, that the blogs can be interconnected between the various sites, right? Just like I know the calendars can.
On that demo, if you just put editor on the AndrewSear.com demo, if you log in as editor.
Okay.
Because I think we created these different roles, one as user, one as journalist, one as translator, one as editor, one as admin, and so on. But if you just do editor now,
yes,
and then we see the blue block on the left-hand side has changed.
Okay.
Because it now knows that we're an editor.
Yep, it sure does.
It's what we were saying before about the experience user. Under workflow summary, if you just click on workflow summary.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that, Chris?
If you've logged in as editor
the
password editor,
and
then you've got that. That's right. That block change stuff for you now. And then click on workflow summary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm there.
And there, that's for the editor to see where all the documents are and what. Status they've got. You can define different statuses, i.e. it's been checked by the legal team or it's been who's looked at it. So you can have a process.
Oh, interesting.
But I think, like Mark was saying, it's not as sophisticated as many workflow processes that you can find, or from the document management side, it's not really so advanced in that area. I think in the web area, the portal and all the 2.0 and all the things that it'll do for the user experience, video, you name it, I think it'll do it hands down, and what we've already got in the Penelope document and more.
Yeah. Well,
but
what,
the area to struggle
what,
with
what
the document
what,
management. Yeah.
What will be interesting to me is our analysis as to whether what Drupal offers in the way of collaboration and document management, although it may be rudimentary, if it's at least on par with what we're using in other places like Social Text Wiki, why wouldn't we prefer to have the integrated solution versus, the outside one?
Yes.
If it turns out that what Drupal develops, the functionality that's embedded in what we now are thinking of as Social Text Wiki, right? If that functionality is weaker than what we're getting in Social Text Wiki, then it's not. Then it doesn't make sense, right? We want to take a step backwards.
No.
But we won't know until we look at it.
No, that's something. Yeah, you would have to look at it, and that would have to be looked at more closely. Somebody who knows that social text one or explores it,
right?
To check that.
Over the last couple of days, I was actually doing some research, trying to see if there was a better social text capability than the Social Text Wiki or a better wiki solution. And I didn't get too far. There are so many different wiki software capabilities in the internet right now. It's unbelievable. I mean, there's got to be 30 of them, 40 of them, 50 of them. Different sites that do just wiki stuff, but they have a lot of the same capabilities and feature sets. So it may turn out that Drupal's is on par with them, in which case, you know, we could make a recommendation that for the GNSO anyway, that instead of doing social text, we should use Drupal's capabilities.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, how's that sound so far?
I think that's
okay.
Great.
So you'll go back and, well, you're going to speak to Mark. I'll show the Penelope document to my people here as well, I think. I know it's a little bit in parallel to what you're doing.
Okay.
And ask them to, you know, ticks and crosses on whether they think Drupal will does that.
Okay, great.
That could feed that to you.
And then if all three of us take some time and actually probe into Drupal a little deeper, this will be a little easier for you, Chris, because you've got some experts on your side that can really help inform you and maybe it through you us as
yes.
to you know which of these features and requirements are really worth us pursuing for the GNSO. They may say, yeah, yeah, on page 3 of the requirements there underneath user or something, that third one there, yeah, you can ignore that one. That won't get you very far, right?
Yeah.
Or they may say, you know, that's really cool. You ought to really take a look at that one.
The thing I am most interested in, Chris, your experience with Andalusia.com, you probably don't run a lot of documents through that. And obviously, ICANN, a huge amount of what it is document management, whether it's minutes or comments or anything else. It is a lot of written word-based stuff. And I will be interested to see if Drupal is actually good at that. You know, it would in some respect be like with Microsoft Word, you know, that you can redline documents and that way you can see what somebody changed. If the Drupal doesn't allow you to do that, I imagine that it's got to have compatibility with the major Word processing programs like Microsoft Word. That's something I think for each of us to be aware of and to look for.
Yeah, I'm told that Drupal does not really, it doesn't have anything remotely like what you get with Word redlining. But there is a screenshot on that first page that shows what versioning it does support. And it's probably going to be a lot like what you get on a wiki, meaning you can post a comment or something and save it, and then somebody else can change it. But if you want to see what was changed, you have to do a revision compare. I compare my revision 1 to your revision 2, and then it shows me, all in different colors, it shows me what was changed. But if I want to see the difference between what you wrote and what Chris wrote, not capable of doing that. You do have that capability in the redline capability in Word, obviously, but you don't have it. And somebody told me
that's okay, because nobody ever trusts completely someone else anyhow. You'd probably want to do a comparison. So.
Yeah, and you're right. It's just gonna bear us taking a look at it to see whether it's comparable to what we're already getting or better, then it's worth making the move, right? If it's worse, then it would be a step back.
Yeah.
If it's just different, that would be okay, right?
Yeah, right.
All right, good guys. Well, I'll shoot you guys an email as soon as I make a little progress here, keep you up to date, and I'll report on the I'll report on an email to the larger team. Just a couple of quick thoughts about where we are and what we've done and what we're doing next.
Yeah.
I think that sounds great. I think that's very promising.
Okay, good.
Great.
All right, it was great chatting with you guys.
All right.
Okay, then. We'll be in touch by email until the next call.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, when will the next call be?
Oh, Glenn is here.
Okay.
The next call, we're on a schedule of every other week at this time, the three of us.
Okay, so then that will be on the 7th of May.
Right, and then in the intervening weeks, the larger team will
meet. No, that's right. It's already done. No, it's on the 6th of May at 19 UTC.
Very good.
Great.
That's great. Have a great day. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.